We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Zayin in the Standard Edition, Shin Tet Zayin in the Shalem, in the Mosad Rav Kook Edition. Last week we saw a second way in which we can deal with our predispositions. The Ran had said the first way was a person can actually conquer them. Even though a person is predisposed to anger or other traits, the Ran said, our predisposition does not affect our soul, it only affects our body. And the body pushes in a certain direction, and the soul can overcome the body. And the soul can calm down what he called the boiling of certain parts of the body. Certain parts of the body push for certain attributes, certain traits, and our soul can overcome that. That was point one, and then last week we saw point two, and that is that a person can take certain tendencies and channel them. So a person who has a tendency to let blood can become a butcher, he can do circumcisions, he could do other things with his tendency. He can be a murderer, but it's his choice to channel those forces. So idea one was to control the forces, idea two was to channel the forces. He said, we have a predisposition, yet it isn't decided, it is not decided before a person is born whether he's going to be pious or not. That's left up to him. It is decided what his predispositions will be. That's why the Talmud says in Tractate Nida, the angel in charge of pregnancy is called Laila. When a woman becomes pregnant, so he takes the tiniest drop, he brings it before God, and the angel says, what's going to be with this drop? Chacham or tipesh? Is he going to be smart or dumb? What's his IQ going to be? Ashir or ani? Is he going to be wealthy or poor? Aval tzadik v'rasha lo kamar. But he does not declare, he doesn't ask God, will he be righteous or wicked? V'zeo shamu gam ken b'shabbat. And that's why the Talmud also says in Tractate Shabbos, itmar, the Talmud quotes Rabbi Chanina Amar, Mazal chachamim, mazal machkim, mazal ma'ashir, v'yesh mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina says, the constellations in heaven decide whether one is going to be smart. They decide whether one is going to be wealthy. And they decide for Israel as well. Israel too is under the stars. V'Rabbi Yochanan amar, in mazal Yisrael. We all know Rabbi Yochanan who says, Israel has nothing to do with the constellations. They don't decide anything for us. Even Rabbi Yochanan admits that in a general sense, the constellations do decide whether a person is going to be wise or wealthy. Even though Rabbi Yochanan makes a blanket statement, he says, Israel doesn't have any mazal. We don't have luck or fortune that decides for us. He doesn't mean to say these things don't act, they don't affect anyone. What Rabbi Yochanan means to say is that a Jew who has the capacity to pray and give charity and change his mazal. And that's how Rashi explains over there. What does it mean Israel doesn't have mazal? He means that we have the capacity to overcome mazal. Now in truth, this is a machloket. Because in one place the Talmud says Israel can overcome their mazal. In another place, Rabbi Yochanan over here says Israel doesn't have mazal. So the question is, are the two conflicting? Or is the other comment in Talmud explaining this one? Is Rav Yochanan, does he mean that Israel doesn't have mazel because we can overcome it? Or does he mean to say, no, we start out a tabula rasa, we're a blank slate, and we choose where we go.
Or maybe it means with regards to the two points that were discussed beforehand, if they're going to be rich or poor, smart or stupid in a given generation, because Israel has had, as we've seen in history, ups and downs. So maybe it says, you know, from generation to generation, that there are certain characteristics, I guess, of the overall national state of Israel for a given year or generation that is not determined by us. But not to say that, but then, you know, that could be complementary to the other, part of where this is discussed in the Talmud that says that Israel is above Mazal or above the stars that with other regards.
I hear? Maybe? I don't know. What?
I think he was talking about the Yechid, though, isn't it? Like each individual.
Right. Right. Definitely seems like it's talking about the individuals. Yeah.
Why should it be focused on the Jews? So he can also become a righteous person by his own decision. If that would be not true, what I'm saying, I mean that he...
I'll tell you, we still have a lot to talk about. Meaning, we're at the beginning of the way because the Talmud tells us a story about one of the rabbis who passed out. He let blood, and then he had nothing to eat. He was sick, so he had to let blood. In those days, that was part of the cure, and they knew you had to eat after you let blood, right? Just like today, after you donate blood, he had nothing to eat at home but some garlic. So he starts chewing on garlic. And he passes out. And the Talmud goes into many details of the story, but in a nutshell, when he came to, they asked him what happened. So he said, God had a conversation with me. And I said, I've had it. I'm so poor. Look at what I'm doing and how I'm suffering. So God said to me, look, this is the way the constellations were set up when you were born. If you want, we can destroy the world. Start from scratch, and maybe you'll be born under a different constellation. So he said, maybe? God said, yeah, I set up a system, you know. We'll see how it falls out. So he said, did I live out more of my life, or do I have more left to live? So God said, you passed the halfway mark. So he said, fine, so let me finish. I'm not taking my chances. So that Gemara, you know, it sounds humorous, right? What's going on here, right? God's saying, you know, yeah, what?
Why would God say
maybe? Right? So obviously this Gemara needs a lot of work. But the Gemara certainly gives us an indication that it's not so simple, you know, to pray and change your mazel, to give tzedakah and change your mazel. Let's wait and see. He's still going to develop the point. And he says that's, you have to say that way as you see the continuation of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav is also of the opinion that Israel doesn't have mazel, because God said to Abraham, what are you so worried about? You're right, as you read the astrology, that you can't have children. But I'll just move this little star over here and that little star over there. Now you can have children. See, now that wasn't so hard. We can do that here, right? What did the Gemara just say? It's as though the Gemara said that in order for God to allow Avram to have children, God moved things in the heavens. So then God does work through the order of heavens. And the Gemara says that's exactly Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So the Gemara, wait, but Rabbi Yochanan said we have no mazel. So what it means is, says the Ran, it means that when it says we have no mazel, it means we can affect the stars. Ah, so if you suddenly see Mars going out of orbit, you know why, right? But if you read the Gemara, it sounds so phenomenal. Okay, for Avraham Avinu, God's going to shift a few stars. And yet the Gemara says Rav is of the same opinion as Rav Yochanan. When Rav says that God said to Abraham, what you so worried about? It's all over. I'll just move the stars. Don't keep looking through the stars and seeing that you won't have kids. I'll move them and you will have kids.
Why would Avraham Avinu just move a few stars, but with this other Rav that passed, destroyed the entire
Right. The question is, what was God telling him when he said, I could destroy the world and recreate it? What? Meaning, let's not take things literally. Let's wait and see. Wait. That's a tangent. I just meant it as an indicator that there's much more to discuss. We're plowing our way through. Yeah?
So, when we're talking about the stars and the constellations and everything, do we literally mean the stars as in, like, suns of other planets out in space that we see at night? Or is this metaphoric for something else?
No, it's literal.
So what effect do those have? Other than, I guess, the natural effects. Meaning, I don't know, if a star, you know, from a universe that's right close to ours, maybe if there's a star and it explodes, it could somehow cause a debris that makes a meteor shower that hits Antarctica or something over here. and then send a tidal wave, God forbid, to the to the South
Pacific.
It's
not the idea. No.
What spiritual effect does the stars have? They're stars. They're the big balls of mass in outer space.
No, that have level affect our weather, and the weather affects a person's mood and how a person reacts in day-to-day life.
If you look at the stock market, the market seems to have a direct correlation with the sun's flares. That the sun will, there's bursts that come out from the sun that radiate a little bit more, and our stock market increases. On a scientific level, they've traced it over the past 20 years.
So basically, they're starting to rest before the global warming thing kicks off higher.
Well, there's, in other words, there are correlations to be had with different bodies up there.
Okay. I'd like to answer you. We're out of time, so come back next week. And
I know, Rob. I can.
Because we're really at a pivotal point in the Drashot Aran, and with your question. So next week, Bezat Hashem.